from the studios of 96.3 FM, Freak Radio, in Santa Cruz, California. It's time for the Weekly Freak Show. Headlines and highlights for the week ending Thursday, October 26, 2000. My name's the V-Man, and I'll be your host for this half-hour look back at the news and features you didn't hear in the corporate press. This week, we'll hear from Dick Carlberg of Amnesty International on the Candle of Hope, bringing attention to the death penalty abolition movement. Plus, we'll hear about 5-year-old Forrest Hernandez, who died August 22, 1997, after ingesting a small amount of water from Bechtel Creek in Willits, California. All of that and this week's Spotlight Sound. Stay tuned for the Weekly Freak Show, coming up next. And now, headlines for the week ending October 26, 2000. Convicted of murder and sentenced to die in 1992, William Nieves, 34, is now a free man. On Friday, October 20th, a Philadelphia jury returned a verdict of not guilty at retrial. Nieves had steadfastly maintained his innocence and was granted a retrial in 1997 on the grounds that Nieves' trial attorney, advised him not to testify. It became clear to the jury that crucial eyewitness evidence was suppressed by prosecutors in the initial trial. Testimony from one of the prosecutor's own witnesses identified the killer as a physically large African-American male, while Nieves is a Latino of medium build. In the early morning hours of Saturday, October 21st, the Animal Liberation Front activists descended upon the Titmus Duck Farm in Long Island, New York. A total of 19 ducks were taken by the activists. Fences on the premises were cut and posts were ripped out to allow the remaining ducks to roam free. In November 1999, the Florida Department of Environmental Protection approved a plan for the Sewanee American Cement Plant to be built 3.5 miles from the Itchituckney River. The $130 million plant will burn coal and use tires to produce their cement, emitting dangerous levels of mercury, phosphates, and dioxins into the air and water. On Sunday, October 22nd, activists from Earth First stepped up their campaign to halt the plant. Early that morning, an immobilized camping trailer was placed on the road leading to the construction site with 4 people locked down inside. It took more than 16 hours for police and rescue workers to remove and arrest the 4 activists. On Sunday, October 22nd, hundreds of protesters, including church leaders, merchants, fishermen, elderly people, and children, tore down enormous sections of a military fence in the area of Camp Garcia, entrance to the bombing range on the Puerto Rican island of Vieques. The protest was organized in response to the largest military exercises on the island since the death of David Sains, a security guard killed by an errant bomb in April 1999. During the month of October, tens of thousands of troops from the NATO countries took part in mock battles and readiness maneuvers, intensely bombing the eastern part of the island. At the height of the bombing practice, 9 demonstrators entered the impact area and remained there 24 hours until being arrested. And finally, Sunday marked the 5th annual October 22nd National Day of Protest to stop police brutality, repression, and the criminalization of a generation. Demonstrations were held in 55 cities across the United States. In Los Angeles, California, after a long march, protesters gathered in front of the Parker Center, that city's largest police station. There, police declared an unlawful assembly, claiming protest permits had been revoked. Police moved in on the crowd of about 1,000, firing rubber bullets and beanbags and striking people with batons. The rally permits had earlier been revoked by police, unbeknownst to the protest organizers. At least 6 arrests were reported, and those were headlines for the week ending Thursday, October 26th, 2000. Dick Carlberg is with Amnesty International and has been working to abolish the death penalty for many years. He is raising awareness for an upcoming conference on the death penalty by walking almost 1,000 miles from San Diego, California to San Francisco, California. I spoke with Dick about his reasons for opposing the death penalty.
It's a barbaric act that's left over from ancient times. Most of your modern countries today have abolished the death penalty. The death penalty has been abolished in all the European countries. As a matter of fact, you can't be a member of the European Union if you still have the death penalty on your books. So it's a barbaric practice that time has long since gone away. One of the things that people say, well, it's a deterrent. Well, all of the unbiased studies that have been done in the last 20 years have shown that, no, it's not a deterrent. In fact, there is evidence that indicates that after an execution, for 30 days after an execution, violent crime actually increases in the state. And when you compare those states that have the death penalty with those states that don't have lower murder rates. So you figure. And then here in California, we could save tens of millions of dollars a year annually, and this has been a study that was done by the State Budget Office, if we eliminated the death penalty, because you wouldn't have to go through all of the extensive trials and maneuvers and what have you.
What got you involved in this movement to try and bring abolition for the death penalty?
Well, I've been a longtime member of Amnesty International, as you may know, as the human rights organization. I joined them in the early 70s, and at that time, torture was sort of the thing that we were most concerned about because the death penalty was going out. But since then, thanks to a couple of Supreme Court decisions, the death penalty has been reinstituted, and it's such a brutalizing thing that instead of worrying as much about torture in other countries, I've started worrying about death penalty because I just find it inhumane, just from a religious, ethical, and moral, and just almost any measure that you want to use, it is something whose time has passed, and we don't need it anymore. Not when there is a excellent alternative, which is life without parole. And I might add, nobody in California who has been sentenced to life without parole has ever gotten out. They've never escaped, nor have they ever been paroled. It means just that, life without parole.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Candle of Hope. Could you explain to our listeners what that is?
Well, what it is we had a conference on the death penalty in last May, and one of the things we did at the conference to symbolize our opposition to the death penalty was light what we call a candle of hope. And any time we work to abolish the death penalty, we light a candle. So to publicize a national conference on the death penalty that's occurring in San Francisco on the 17th and 18th of November, we are walking and carrying this lit candle from San Diego to San Francisco. So far, we've carried it from San Diego, where we've now reached downtown Los Angeles, and tomorrow we'll be in Santa Monica. We're going to be in Santa Cruz on November 9th.
Now, how many people are walking on this Candle of Hope tour?
I'm the main walker, and I'm walking every day. But then, as I pass through various localities, I'll have one or two other people for sure walking with me. And then, in other cases, I may have a dozen or more. In a demonstration that we had in Orange County, I had 30 people participating. So it varies as we go through the town. I'm hoping there will be a similar turnout when we get to Santa Cruz. My whole point is, you know, you ask me why I'm against the death penalty, and I guess I would ask your audience, why is anybody for it today? Just think about that. When there's alternatives, why is the state killing people? And you might add that on the death certificate for people that are executed at San Quentin, the cause of death is listed as homicide.
Really?
The state is murdering people, and we've got to stop it.
They were digging a new fountain. Foundation in Manhattan, and they've discovered a slave cemetery there. Make their souls rest easy now that lynching is frowned upon, and we've moved on to the electric chair. And I wonder who's gonna be president, Tweedledum or Tweedledummer, and who's gonna have the big blockbuster box office this summer. Maybe we could put up a wall between the houses and the highway, and then you could go your way and I could go my way. Radios agree with all the TVs, and the magazines agree with all the radios, and I keep hearing that same damn song everywhere I go, everywhere I go. Maybe I should put a bucket over my head and a marshmallow in each ear and stumble around for another dum-dum week for another humdrum hit song to appear. Records as in a record of an event, the event of people playing music in a room. Now everything is cross-marketing. It's about sunglasses and shoes or guns and drugs. You choose. We got it rehashed. We got it half-assed. We're digging up all the graves and we're spitting on the past, and we can choose between the colors of the lipstick on the horse, because we know the difference between the font of 20% more and the font of teriyaki. You tell me, how does it make you feel? You tell me, you tell me, you tell me what's real. And they say that alcoholics are always alcoholics, even when they're dry as my lips for years. Even when they're stranded on a small desert island with no place in 2,000 miles to buy beer. And I wonder, is he different? Is he different? Has he changed what he's about? Or is he just a liar with nothing to lie about? Am I headed for the same break? Is there anything I can do about anything at all except go back to that corner in Manhattan and dig deeper this time? Down beneath the impossible pain of our history, beneath unknown bones, beneath the bedrock of the mystery, the sewage system and the salt train, beneath the cornerstones and the path train, beneath the rapture of friendships and street deals, beneath the screeching of kamikaze cab wheels, beneath everything I can think of to think about, beneath it all, beneath all, get out, beneath the good and the kind and the stupid and the cruel, there's a fire that's just waiting for fuel.